Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Weakness does continue. Dow futures down 500 plus. S&P looks to open at about an 8-week low as the reopening concerns in Europe collide with political concerns in the United States after the death of Justice Ginsburg. Our roadmap will begin with the lockdown warnings in the UK, stimulus talks in limbo back home. Futures are sharply lower ahead of the open.
Plus, TikTok continues to tick in the U.S. President Trump gives his blessing to a deal involving Oracle and Walmart buying a 20% stake.
And shares of electric truck maker Nikola tumbling as the company's founder steps down just 10 days after a short-selling firm accused the company of making, quote, an ocean of lies. Jim, there's going to be a lot to process, not just today, but all week long. We got 14 Fed speakers during the course of the week and Powell three times.
Well, look, Powell is on the side of those who believe you should be a buyer. It's pretty clear that Powell does not want things to collapse. I know Powell also is hoping to be a stimulus deal. That seems like a thing of the past. I'll tell you what I really do like here. We're down off of something that no one really understands. I mean, yes, okay, so maybe UK lockdown. That's not us. Maybe Madrid lockdown, not us. This banking story, so amorphous. You try to get your arms around it, and it's just really difficult. It's like shadow boxing. In other words, what I'm saying is we've been down for three straight weeks, Carl. The big FANG stocks they're down double digit. This is when you start thinking maybe there's something to buy. It's been so bad for so long, and everyone's watching. Well, hold on just a second. These things are really going down. No. That's when you think about what to look at. You know I love a down opening, Carl.
Interesting.
You know I do. I love
it. I know you do. I know you do. At the same time, you got 30 states up 10% in the past week in terms of caseload. You got Utah, Montana, North Dakota setting records on cases. Positivity up in 25 states. I mean, it's not like temperatures aren't going to do here what they're doing in Europe, Jim.
No, that's true. But I do think that when we see these numbers spike, we also have some other things. I know it's anecdotal, but you know, why did the Big Ten go back? Well, because they found that it was not that bad for younger people. Big 12, no problem. And we've had every single sport. Baseball seems to have cleaned up. NBA, yes, the dome worked. NFL, very good. Now, is that the country? I think that the places where you're having a spike are places where social distancing en masse are just unfashionable for somehow. The thing that I find most incredible here is that in New York, they're not coming back. And they're not coming back because of things like four people in an elevator and waiting for an hour for an elevator to be open. David, we are in an extraordinary time where it is just not working in New York to go back to work. And everything has always been happening here and then spreading the rest of the country. So I know that things are spiking, David, but I'm not giving up the idea that the worst could be over for now if we get that if we get something. I have Lily on tonight. I think they're close, David.
You think they're close on their monoclonal antibody?
Yeah, I
That's
do.
That's theirs. Correct?
That's why I have Lily on tonight. I think it's important to stay focused on this.
No, without a doubt it is, and we have remained focused on it. You mentioned the monoclonal antibodies as we take a look at who you have on Mad Money tonight. Good group there.
Thank you.
Mr. Quincy as well as Dave Ricks, of course, O'Lilly. And then the small molecule antivirals and the moves towards a vaccine. And to your point, at least cities like New York, of course, right, which suffered so badly in the spring, have kept it extraordinarily low for quite some time, Jim. But it doesn't mean that there isn't concern about spread, obviously, overseas again, but back here in the States, to the points that Carl mentioned in terms of a lot of states that are seeing a rise. And we're headed into colder weather. More people going to be indoors, at least in many places that we know. and live, and that creates more questions and concerns.
Right. Well, hey, look, Carl, I would say that my view has to do with a slow rise back, but aggressive action by American drug companies to come up with something that makes it so that you're not in the hospital that long. I am a believer that a Lilly, that a Merck, that a Regeneron are working on things that if you had enough people in the trials, you'd be really, I think, impressed. And I, by the way, now you, if these hotspots are out there, then you've got the possibility of Moderna, Pfizer, J&J actually having people in the hotspots and seeing if they get it. So I'm betting on science. I'm not betting on the country. The country's just not there.
The president did say Pfizer's in the poll position this morning on Fox, in addition to making some comments about TikTok, of course, over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Eamon Javers on that. Eamon?
Yeah, Carl, some real confusion now this morning as the president was on television on another network just a few moments ago describing this TikTok, ByteDance, Oracle, Walmart deal that came together very quickly over the weekend in really entirely different terms than it was described by some of the parties as they laid out the terms over the weekend. Here's what the president said about this deal on Fox just a short time ago.
They are going to buy it. They're going to have total control over it. They're going to own the controlling interest. Everything is going to be moved into a cloud done by Oracle. It's all through the cloud. And it's going to be controlled, totally controlled by Oracle. And then I guess they're going public and they're buying out the rest of it. They're buying out a lot. And if we find that they don't have total control, then we're not going to approve the deal.
So the president there, Carl, suggesting that Oracle and Walmart will have total control over this deal. The Chinese won't have a role in it. And he says if he finds that that's not the term of the terms of the deal, he's not going to go through with the deal. So the president describing this in a very different way than the parties described it over the weekend, which was a 20% acquisition by Oracle and Walmart, and then ByteDance remaining with 80% of the equity in the new entity. That was the deal as described over the weekend. Now the president suggesting that Oracle will somehow have, and Walmart will somehow have total control. Simultaneous to that, or nearly simultaneous to that, we got a new statement from Oracle's comms department, which maybe adds some clarity or maybe doesn't add some clarity into what exactly is going on here. Here's what Oracle is saying now. They say upon creation of TikTok Global, Oracle Walmart will make their investment, and the TikTok Global shares will be distributed to their owners. Americans will be the majority. And ByteDance will have no ownership in TikTok Global. So that last phrase is an important one to focus on. Will ByteDance have any ownership? Oracle now saying ByteDance will have no ownership in TikTok Global. So we have to get some more clarity on what exactly that means, because there had been this question over the weekend that if ByteDance itself has American investors, and 40% of ByteDance is owned by Americans, then that 40% of the 80% stake, along with the 20% acquisition by Walmart and Oracle, would amount to overall American majority control of the new entity. This new statement, though, from Oracle saying ByteDance will have no ownership in TikTok Global does seem to be different now from the way this deal was described over the weekend. The president also describing it in starkly different terms. All of that may be moving the ball here. So we're going to have to try to figure out where this deal stands and what's actually on the term sheet, guys. Back over to you.
Don't go anywhere. I want to turn to David on this, because, David, I'm looking at org charts that are parsing ByteDance Limited with TikTok Limited.
I mean, the deal as described in the press release that we got, by the way, we told you last week it would be 20%. That is the case. And as Eamon, of course, properly notes, it was clearly not a totally controlled U.S. entity in any way, shape or form, given 80%, it would appear. So but what Eamon has just offered from Oracle is different from what we got in the initial release here in terms of talking about the 20% stake. Now, remember, you do have large U.S.-based investors that own a good deal of ByteDance. That is true. But, Eamon, can you read to me again that language that Oracle shared with you? Because I don't have it in front of me. I haven't seen it. The language Oracle shared with you about the ownership structure, can you repeat that? I just want to try and understand it a bit more.
And we need to parse this word for word, David. You're absolutely right to focus on it. What they're saying is, upon creation of TikTok Global, Oracle Walmart will make their investment, and the TikTok Global shares will be distributed to their owners. Americans will be the majority, and ByteDance will have no ownership in TikTok Global. So that's the portion of this, I think,
so they
that,
must
that
be,
is different
they
from
must
what we've
be
seen
somehow,
over the weekend, right?
Yes, that Coatue and General Atlantic and the others, Sequoia, are must be somehow rolling in, which is something we discussed.
Yes.
Which would mean that
they're
they would have
in,
to value their ByteDance holdings to roll into what the valuation here is. By the way, Eamon, I've heard $50 billion. Now, I can't guarantee that's the number. I know we've heard as high as 60, I think some have reported, but I've heard that the value they placed on TikTok Global is roughly $50 billion, which would mean a $10 billion investment from Oracle, larger from Oracle and then Walmart, $10 billion from the two of them combined. And then valuing somehow the ByteDance ownership of those owners I just mentioned, who then roll in. The whole thing is very complicated still, I think, and unclear, not to mention
David,
the president's comments.
Totally unclear. I mean, the Journal story was right this morning. Did something change between the Journal story and now? I mean, yes, maybe ByteDance is offering all of its stock in an IPO, which is going to come in the next 12 months, but that Journal story is accurate. I don't know where this came from.
Well, Jim, it came from the president, right? I mean, what the president said is that Oracle and Walmart will have a controlling interest and total control over the new entity, right? So that's not at all the way this deal was described over the weekend. The president describing it that way on television this morning. I asked the White House immediately after he said that on national television. I asked the White House, sort of what's going on here, and White House officials referring me now to the Oracle statement, saying Oracle just put out this statement. Look at that. So, that's what we've got as of right now.
Are they talking about the board, Eamon? I mean, the board is going to be American. The board will be American, but this is, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, frankly, there's not a lot of clarity here.
Yeah, we need a lot more detail here.
And by the way, we don't even know exactly what TikTok Global is. In their release, it said it comprises most of TikTok. I assume it doesn't include China, but I don't know what TikTok Global is exactly. Originally, we thought it was just going, they were really talking about the U.S., New Zealand, Australia, U.K., and Canada, sort of all the English-speaking places. But we'll try to continue to make sense of it. And we still don't have a number in terms of where they actually have valued it, which
David,
we'd like to know.
David,
and they should share with us.
Isn't it possible, David, that nothing's happened and the president is ascribing a level of control that we would normally on Wall Street not
absolutely
think is in control.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it may, and he may be conflating sort of some of the control levers that have nothing to do with economics, but with the other issues.
Right. I mean, he's not talking about the 25,000 jobs
control
and the Austin location and the fund that they're going to put together.
Right.
He's really attacking something that I think all of us until this morning felt is not true. But,
meanwhile, I think just to step back for a second, guys, ByteDance has got to be really happy. I know that sounds strange with this deal. I mean, if it's valuing the asset as much as $50 billion, which I hear is the case, that's a win for them. Don't forget, when we originally believed that the entire asset would have to be sold to a U.S. buyer, a la the Microsoft deal, there was no one I spoke to who thought that Microsoft would come in anywhere above $30 billion for all of TikTok, USA, or TikTok with those other countries I mentioned. So the fact that they may get it as valued as high as 50, may be able to do a follow-on offering of some point to help monetize their stake into the future, that's a win. And a win for Sequoia and Coatue and SIG and General Atlantic. It's a win for all of them, Jim, given
totally
where
right
this thing ended up and where it looked like it might have gone.
You're totally right. Those are the winners. Unless we hear otherwise, I have to believe that it is going to be a U.S. company. I mean, where's Mr. Mayor? You could come back and do it. But the fact is, ByteDance has a substantial substantial stake, and 40% of ByteDance is owned by is the General Atlantics and the Sequoias. They do quite well. I was thinking the United States, the president was going to trumpet the jobs and trumpet Austin and trumpet how the control will be, not total control, but control would be here. But at the same time, the algos, right, they're still there. And you're right, David. I mean, you can argue it's a win-win, but you have to argue that is the win. There's a W for China, okay? There's a W for China, not just for the United States. It's not, remember, this is not owned by the people's, it's not owned by the PLA.
No, this is not Huawei.
This is a
win for the founder as well, ByteDance, right. Yiming, a young man, mid-30s, 36 or so years old.
He's 38.
38, yeah. And
they create a lot of billionaires in China for a communist country.
Platform.
You know?
They do.
Communism's incredible to create billionaires. Carl, they create more billionaires than we do in the Valley. Pretty interesting. Snowflake, get Snowflake versus Beijing. I just find this, we got to get more facts on this thing, and we got to get them before the open. Honestly, Oracle's up big. We don't really know what Oracle's saying. So, I don't know, David. Well, I think you and I are...
They got a web hosting deal, Jim.
Yeah, and they've got Zoom.
And they paid
and
up for
that,
it, but they're going to, you know...
Right, and Walmart.
Yeah,
Walmart arguably got them on their platform. Walmart's got a good deal, and McMillan's very excited about it. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I just think the president is really excited about it.
Before we wrap up our opening block here, Jim, let's go back to the markets themselves. I mean, we talked as well about the banks. Are you concerned at all about these latest issues? You seemed at the open to sort of not be as concerned, perhaps,
not,
of what it
I mean,
means
look,
for U.S. banks.
I mean,
Deutsche
Europe's
Bank, of course, always. I don't know what they're doing over there at Deutsche Bank.
Okay, well, that was my point. Deutsche Bank, to link J.P. Morgan with Deutsche Bank without J.P. Morgan coming out and saying something, I mean, you know, look at that list. Well, Bank of New York Mellon is kind of a custody bank. But if I were J.P. Morgan, I would come out this morning and say, listen, this, you know, the allegations, we're going to prove otherwise. But I'm not getting that. And, you know, Carl, I know that you get a lockdown in Europe and you get a problem with some banks. And that causes us to go down big, Carl? I don't know. Doesn't seem right to me.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it, Jim. Obviously, September is living up to its name as futures are weak. We're coming off the third week down, and as we said at the open, S&P looks to open at about an eight-week low. We'll take a break here. We'll be back in a moment.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration. Our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
It's a remarkable morning of news on this Monday, of course, following the death of Justice Ginsburg. In addition, the reopening concerns that we continue to see in Europe and in the United States to some degree. The TikTok deal, Nikola, obviously. In a moment here, we're going to get a moment of silence from the New York Stock Exchange guys and the NASDAQ in honor of Justice Ginsburg. Of course, so much has been written over the past 48 hours about the degree to which she was a champion for equality, not just in her own career, such a pioneer, such a groundbreaker on that front. But then the voice of dissent, one of the fiercest voices ever to serve on the Supreme Court, of course, a champion for gender rights, civil rights, equality in general, having passed away at the age of 87. Here's that moment of silence.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
We're expecting a tough tape this morning, but watch Microsoft. Xbox just tweets, today's a special day as the company buys the games of Bethesda for $7.5 million in cash, ZeniMax. We'll talk to Phil Spencer later on this morning, of course, about that story as Microsoft is changing the face of gaming. We're back in a minute.
4 minutes before we get started with trading for the week. Does look like we're going to have a down open. Let's squeeze in a mad dash. Apple's still the largest market cap company out there, Jim.
Well, everyone, I think, is watching Apple thinking, when is it going to stop going down? Was it 135? Looks like 104. Well, Jim Suva over at Citi is not waiting. He's actually right now raising his price target. He's going from 112 to 125, and he's talking about wearables and the excitement that are going to come from wearables. Obviously, that's that revenue stream that most people have not been able to really get their arms around. Those of us who watch football saw an Apple Plus movie that looked fantastic by the guys who did Fauda, Davidson. I know you're a Fauda fan. But what I think is happening here is that Suva is taking the other side of the trade, basically, of the sell-off. And I think it seems brave, but I like it. I think he's got some good points. And I think it's nice to see someone willing to go against the wave of selling.
As you point out, Jim, well off its highs, of course. But the stock is still up 45% year to date.
Right.
We are now moving into that all of focus 5G cycle. What are you pinning sort of a positive tone on here?
Well, I just think there is, I know there's tremendous multiple contraction going on, but, you know, Powell's going to speak three times this week, and I'm looking at the actual estimates. The estimates are not coming down. So you start thinking, well, is the stock actually inexpensive? I mean, is it a 23 times, 22 earnings? I mean, I'll pay that. Now, there'll be other people against that will say, look at the chart, Jim. Are you a fool? I'm not a chartist. I just am looking for a stock that has some valuation underpinnings. And oddly enough, Apple has come down enough that you can say it does have some valuation underpinnings. I think Suva's got some points here. I know you might think it's a pretty generic piece, but and that the Apple Watch can't stem the tide. But there were a number of things that came out that weren't so negative. And I'm just saying that you want to hang your hat on something. The company did come out with something last week that was somewhat noticeable against what I regard as being a wall of red that is rather monumental after we've been down for 3 weeks. Wow.
Yeah.
Dave's not buying this one.
I'm not buying it. I'm keeping an eye on a lot of things, Carl, of course. Tesla bucked the trend last week, as we all know. It's now, you know, up 428% for the year again. And, Jim, that's been, well, when it comes to multiples, you can't really have a discussion about it. But that does seem to be defying some of the moves we've seen in some of the others. Battery day is drawing closer, Jim.
That's tomorrow's battery day. What a day that's going to be. I mean, I just already denoting that as a holiday. I'll tell you what's interesting, David, is Tesla up, but this Nikola, which I know that has been a kind of a convoluted situation. Well, Hindenburg, which of course is an allusion to a tremendously unsuccessful Zeppelin, is saying that while founder Trevor Milton's departure may give the appearance of a company that's moving on, we believe this is only the beginning of Nikola's unraveling. Nikola's almost no intellectual property, products, or revenue to fall back on. We think the company's key asset was its founder's ability to raise money through hype. And then I know this is, I'm going to caveat this. the Hindenburg is saying outright laws. I think that that is libelous. Got to be careful. General Motors, he says, should carefully evaluate the potential long-term damage to its 112-year brand by continuing to tie itself to Nikola. David, this is one of those that it's down a lot, but it's not over.
All right. Well, we're going to discuss it a lot more, Carl, but let's get the opening bell.
Guys, there's the opening bell. As we said, breath looks to be pretty weak here. We'll watch some of the early movers. Jim and David mentioned Nikola, and we did get a statement out of GM today saying they're going to work to close that transaction. I see Citron. Phil LeBeau says, as soon as you talk about suing the shorts, you've played your hand.
Yeah, and you heard Jim read the statement from Hindenburg Research. The shorts look at this, and they look at shares of Nikola that pre-market, they were down, 22%? They were down trading at, there you go, down 28%, now trading under $25 a share. You're going back to the levels that we saw in May. And remember, it was right before the SPAC IPO, the reverse merger with Invecto Q came out, and then boom, they took off. And a lot of that was fueled, the oxygen, if you will, for Nikola. It came from Trevor Milton. It came from him saying, this is what we're doing with the Badger electric truck. We're going to have Nikola world. We're going to have hydrogen fuel cell semis. We are going to revolutionize transportation. He truly was the face of this company. And even though he was not the CEO of this company, he spoke as if I'm running this company. Mark Russell is still the CEO of Nikola. But remember after they had their quarterly results and they came out and they said, this is what's happening. And during the conference call, Mark Russell answered a number of questions. Well, the street didn't react with, you know, any great reaction there. They were like, well, you know, what's the future for these guys? Who was on air? Who was on social media within 24, 48 hours? It was Trevor Milton. So he has been the oxygen that has kept this stock anywhere between $35 and $55 a share. And now he is gone out of this company. He is a consultant till the end of the year, but he's not the executive chairman anymore. He's not on the board of directors. And if he even wants to tweet, which has long been his platform, or Instagram, if he even wants to say anything about Nikola, it's got to be cleared by Nikola's legal counsel.
Well, Phil, let me just ask you, there still is, I mean, GM is making things for them. I mean, that's not...
Yes, they
will
be.
I know the GM, you can say that they got tied in with someone bad, but GM's got to do something. It's good for GM, right?
I think GM's perspective on this is, look, we got an 11% stake in this company that will be paying us to build their electric pickup truck, the Badger electric pickup truck, and that's going to be built at, they haven't announced this yet, but most likely at the Hamtramck plant in Detroit, which adds size and scale, which is what they want for their EV platform, for the Ultium battery platform. They want size and scale. They just don't want to have GM vehicles. They're going to be working with a number of automakers. And the hydrotech element of this, where they're going to be making hydrogen fuel cells that will be used by Nikola in the hydrogen fuel cell semis that they're developing in Europe, that's what GM will be supplying as well. So I think GM looks at this, and by the way, they are committed to staying in this relationship with Nikola. They look at this as there's upside here. What downside is there? If Nikola were to fall apart completely, what's the downside to General Motors? Okay, you don't build the Badger pickup truck. It's embarrassing maybe that this was not a deal that went through. But otherwise, there's not a whole lot of downside here.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important as well, guys, to remember that it's not as though Nikola, and remember, we had them on. I remember the first time anybody really heard of them is when we brought them on in early March, right before things sort of shut down. Jeff Ubben joined Trevor Milton on set at the New York Stock Exchange when they announced their plan to go public through Vecto IQ, Steve Gursky's SPAC. Gursky, of course, will now take Trevor's role. I thought it was interesting, by the way, in his bio, they talk all about GM. They don't mention the fact that he was a sell-side analyst covering autos for all those years. But they never, Phil and Jim, they never said that they were going to be a Tesla. They never said that they were going to create all their own proprietary engineering and things of that nature. The plan always had been to take from here and take from here and take from here and sort of create this vision and execute on this vision that Trevor has had. And that others, like Ubben, have bought into. And so the question becomes, can you continue to have the vision without the visionary? I don't know the answer to that. I do know,
David, I can tell you this much. Having conversations with people familiar with this, the Badger electric truck, that's the least interesting element of Nikola when they were putting together this deal for the SPAC IPO. The hydrogen fuel cell semi and the hydrogen and the business plan there for if you are a trucking company and you ultimately say, look, you, one-stop shopping. You guys are going to take care of everything, the fuel, everything. All I've got to do is basically, you know, supply the driver, so to speak. That was the interesting part of the business plan.
Yes.
Not the Badger electric
and the
truck.
700...
And I know that got sexy and everybody on Twitter wanted to talk about the Badger.
It's the
700 stations that they're talking about. No, it is. That's the vertical integration that he was talking about from day one, if they could actually pull it off. Now, Hindenburg has raised a lot of questions about their past actions. There's no doubt about it, and certainly did hit his credibility hard. I will tell you, a week right after the Hindenburg report sort of came out and started to get a lot of attention, Trevor then went to the board and said, I'll resign. And they said, no, we don't want you to. Now, apparently he came back and offered again, and this time, or told them, and this time they said yes. I don't believe he was forced out because I know that he had offered to resign already, and they had refused that offering. Jim, you remember when we had him on. We'll look at what the date is. I assume it's on the tape. We were trying to hold him to all those different promises that he had. Here's the give and take that Jim and I had with Trevor back some time ago.
We got a tough thing on our plate. I won't lie, but this year, I can tell you this. The next 4 months are going to be the greatest 4 months in Nikola's history ever, hands down.
All right.
So this is what's exciting about Nikola.
Okay.
Like, you guys are going to see what's coming. I'm keeping that tape,
and I'm going to play it back to you next time if you don't deliver. So just so you know,
I'm okay with that. And if I don't beat the hell out of me all over the world, I will just beat you silly.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Listen, say this for the guy. A great promoter, incredible personality, great guest. And I guess I don't know if we get the chance to beat him silly because now he's not a part of the company anymore, Jim.
I wonder if there's more to it. I wonder what the other some of the accusations that that Hindenburg's bringing up. So far, Hindenburg's been spot on. But Phil, one thing is clear. I had Linde on, which is the largest provider of hydrogen in the world, and the Chinese are well ahead of us with hydrogen. They have hydrogen buses. They're doing hydrogen trucks. I don't blame GM one bit for trying to be in the hydrogen race. If hydrogen is a great fuel, and you need hydrogen more than you need electric if you're talking 5-6, because it's a green fuel that doesn't even require a plant. So, Phil, you got to admit that in the end, GM wants a chit in the hydrogen game, and they have to have it. Everybody does.
Absolutely. And in fact, remember when they announced this deal and Trevor Milton was on with Mary Barra? What did Mary Barra hit several times during that interview? Did she talk about the Badger electric truck? No. I mean, she mentioned that they were going to be working with them. It was the Hydratech element of this, supplying hydrogen fuel cells for Nikola. That's a big part of what GM views as the future in terms of propulsion systems. Yeah, the Ultium battery platform is a huge part of where GM is headed, but they also understand that hydrogen is going to be there, and the hydrogen fuel cell element is a part of what GM was very excited about with this deal, still excited about with this deal.
Thanks, Phil.
Phil, thanks for that.
Phil LeBeau.
I'm just looking at the, I think it was the 10Q, Jim. We're highly dependent on the services of Trevor R. Milton. If Mr. Milton were to discontinue his service to us due to death, disability, or any other reason, we would be significantly disadvantaged. We'll find out if that's true.
Yeah, what I'm confused about is some of these Hindenburg charges are so extreme, but so far Hindenburg's been, Hindenburg won, Trevor Milton none, and they keep seeming to avoid the whole time, these people at Nikola have yet to deal with what Hindenburg is saying in any sort of substantive way. And I don't know why Hindenburg is continually being dismissed. David, so far, their work is pretty good.
Yes. Now, listen, supporters of Nikola will tell you they took a lot of different things from the past and that it was not about the company's current operations and that it was unfair in that way. That said, plenty of people can look back at past behavior and decide that those kinds of things don't change, and therefore it's reflective of what you can expect.
All right.
It's a story that we've been following closely and will continue to, because listen, if it was successful, obviously it would be a real positive in a lot of different ways, not just for shareholders, but for the planet as well. Don't forget, that's sort of where a lot of this had come from.
Guys, I want to move on to the jump. Will you find Trevor Milton? Yeah. Will you use that particular set of skills that is a nightmare for Trevor Milton?
I know where Trevor is. I'd assume he's not going to be hitting the airwaves anytime soon.
And I told you, never trust a man with two first names. I mean, that's just, you just don't do that.
Bow tie, two first names. Don't trust somebody who doesn't drink. I mean, there's a lot. There's
meanwhile,
a long
you know,
list.
He's a nice tonic from how bad the market is.
Yeah, the market is, the S&P is down 2%, guys. Overall, we've got weakness where we would expect it, sort of big cap tech, although no worse than the overall market.
No,
the banks,
important.
As we saw earlier, are getting hit. Yeah, they're getting hit. Tesla and Netflix are both up, Jim. Oracle is also higher on the TikTok deal and the hopes there, I guess. They get that big web hosting contract.
The gaming stocks are all up because of the Microsoft story. And I'm watching Apple react positively. I still think this was a great deal for Walmart. I think Walmart is such a winner here because they get access to 100 million people in this TikTok, and they need that younger group. By the way, Doug McMillon on the board, maybe, you know, Doug McMillon is not going to get on a board that's phony. He's just not going to do that.
No, I think the bigger discussion, Jim, is probably Oracle's lack of consumer touch, right? And how that's going to play out in a business that is highly consumer-centric.
Well, but they've been pretty terrific with Zoom. And Zoom is business to consumer. And I think no one feels that Zoom is unhappy with Oracle. It's a pretty good relationship. I know what's hard is that Larry Ellison's talking and Safra Katz is talking to the government, but they don't talk to us. So it's very difficult for them to be able to convey the story when they're not trying to convey it.
Right. Right. And that's why you end up with op-eds like Joe Nocera, Jim, which I'm sure you've read today. The idea that a country's leader decides which deals get done and which don't, and that's contingent on how friendly the company is with the leader, is how it works in, say, Putin's Russia.
Wow. Well, okay. There's Joe's view. I do know that what you have is you have a majority-owned company, and however the president put it, I come back to it's majority-owned. I'm not sure Putin plays a major role in some of those companies. It is somewhat odd that President Trump is, you know, not trumpeting the jobs that are being created, and instead is trumpeting something that ByteDance isn't giving him. You know, David, I don't know why he's reaching. It's like why he's reaching to be able to say that this deal is different from what the deal is. And I understand what Nocera is saying. It seems very problematic right now.
Yeah, the actual ownership structure, again, is something we're struggling to fully understand here in terms of how it's going to work, that they, I guess, are claiming that existing ByteDance holders are either rolling in or valuing their shares in ByteDance and going to own TikTok Global, which is what they're calling this business. We'll see about the 25,000 jobs. That'll be interesting to watch.
Austin.
We keep an eye on that through the
Austin,
years.
Austin, David.
Austin. I know. It's funny because there are a number of, in its former incarnation, early on, I remember when they were looking for a CEO at TikTok, there had been talk about moving it to a major U.S. City, including New York at one point. Guys, before we get to Bob, you know, there was another large deal. We tend to sort of not consider it technology, but
oh,
it
my
is
God,
technology.
You going to Illumina?
This
you
is
going
a company. No, yes, I'm going to Illumina, which is down, getting hit, although not as much as it was right at the open, but down about 5%, Jim. Listen, multi-cancer early detection would seem to be a pretty important thing.
Liquid biopsies are the holy grail, and they use them right now in China. And they have a lot of false positives in China. But when you have 500,000 people per hospital, you need a liquid biopsy. That's what their numbers are, 500,000 per hospital.
Let's just tell people, Grail once was a part of Illumina. They kind of spun it off to let it sort of kind of get its own momentum. That was only about 4 years ago. They still own, I think it's the economics of roughly 12.5%. They are now going to buy it back. It's an $8 billion overall deal, so it's not in not a small deal by any means. We're talking what will be about $4 billion, as much as $4 billion or more in stock, the remainder in cash as well. And Jim, you know, they're saying that it's going to obviously move Illumina into an area that they want to be in as well, which is this early detection, which can be so important, and they believe will become more and more important, of course, and get full reimbursement conceivably from the insurance companies, particularly
well, it is,
given how much
it's something
they save
that a lot
if you
of people
get to these
try.
Cancers early.
A lot of people are trying to do this, and if they have it, well, it is the grail is the holy grail, because you can imagine, you can just take a drop of blood and figure out whether someone has cancer. I mean, remember, they are doing it in China, but it, a lot of times it says you have cancer and you don't. In the meantime, Carl, yeah, can I just say that Apple is almost up after that disastrous opening, and Apple is the key to this market. I see NASDAQ coming back. Remember, everyone gave up on the NASDAQ because they discovered there was a sell-off today. That is often the time to buy. Just pointing out.
Yeah, we're watching the NASDAQ 100, Jim, barely dip below Friday's low. So we're watching that closely. Let's get to Bob Pisani, see what else is moving. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, we are off the lows. 3250 was the low on the S&P, but just barely, 3255, 7-week low. And
I think we lost Pisani there for a moment. We'll come back to him when we can. Jim, I do want to point out one thing, and that is even though the tape's a little ugly, getting better as you suggest, we did get upgrades of Raytheon and Boeing and UPS and Duncan and Oracle today. So
they're
the sell
working.
Side wasn't taking the glass half empty point.
No, I mean, this Carlton May running UPS, it has underperformed FedEx. She's fantastic. Remember, she was the CFO of Home Depot. I thought that call was a very bold and good call. The Goldman piece really does say, and look, commercial aircraft, it's a very positive piece about what can happen with commercial aircraft. In the meantime, some of these oddball names that have just been just shredded, like the Fastly's, like the Twilio's, they're coming back, and those are the backbone of the kind of wacko NASDAQ that everyone says is too expensive. Watch KLA Tencor and watch Lam Research. Stifel recommends them. These have just been pummeled. So, I mean, we're getting the pummeled stocks making a comp. Zoom, which has been de-zoomed, is being re-zoomed. I like that. Resume.
As the Dow's trying to hold 27K, guys. Before we go to break, take a look at how Treasuries are faring today, given all the news. Get a look at the Treasury board. Across the Atlantic, Eurozone yields are down in a flight to safety amid what we know are now rising cases of COVID there. Boris Johnson's going to talk to the House of Commons on Tuesday. The yield on the 10-year bond hitting a one-month low. And then a look at the dollar index. Pay attention to the yen. Squawk on the Street's back in a moment. We lost Pisani there for a moment. We're going to get him back. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Technical issues. Important thing about the market, still 7-week low, but Apple just briefly went positive. Tech is rallying a bit here, but it's still a problem with tech down and banks down. So look at the sectors that we've got here. Another weak day for the banks. Of course, got issues going on in Europe. Materials, industrials, also weak. This is partly the reopening story. Tech's doing a little bit better. As I mentioned, Apple went positive. Banks, of course, we've got those issues over in Europe with that suspicious trading activity story. It's not clear how many, if any, it really impacts, but HSBC has been down, Societe Generale, JP Morgan, again, not clear how much this really should impact any of these U.S. banks, but again, you see them to the downside here. Travel and leisure has been rolling over for a week, essentially, and that's happening again today because the reopening story is getting a little murkier. And if you look at what's moving the markets, we used to talk about this, the five or six buckets that moves the markets a couple months ago. I haven't put it up recently, but it's bears looking at right now. The only thing still positive here is the treatment and vaccine, where there are advances, as you hear every day. But on the stimulus issue, of course, they're not so clear. The fiscal negotiations haven't made a lot of progress. The Fed really didn't appease the doves that much last week on quantitative easing here. Reopening, the European lockdown fears a very real, ugly day over in Europe. And China, of course, rising trade tensions that we've seen. On the markets, the two big issues, of course, we talk about all the time is valuation and earnings. Generally, tech overvalued for the moment. Earnings are improving. The third quarter numbers are going up, not down, and that is a overall positive for the market. So a lot of mixed messages, but still some more negatives than positives. And the elections, of course, also making things a lot more complicated. As far as technical issues, and yes, technical matters, to the extent the market's dominated by momentum, technical matters. The S&P and the NASDAQ are below their 50-day moving average. That's the first time for the S&P since April. That happened on Friday. And of course, the weekend after the September quadruple, which is among the weakest of the year. It's normally down about 1.5%. That's happening again here. So these technical issues are also weighing on the market. I think the big problem is how do you get the market to rally with technology and banks this week? Here's two of the biggest sectors that are out there. The S&P is down 7% for the month, but tech's down 11. Banks are down 6. Healthcare, another important sector, is down 5%. You can't rally the market on industrials and materials. I'm sorry, they're just not big enough. So we need tech to do better, Carl. We need banks to do a little bit better. At least you're getting Apple trying to stay positive for the day, and that's at least the one positive we're seeing right now. Carl, back to you.
Yeah. All right, Bob, we'll see in a little bit. Meantime, take a look at how we're opening on this Monday. Dow trying to still hold 27K, down about 2%. S&P 3265, NASDAQ just under 10.7. As we're looking at the lowest levels for the Dow since August 4th or so, S&P NAS since July 30. Don't go away. Take a look at the Dow, down 620 here. You got all sectors red, led by energy down 3. VIX right at 30, and the stay-at-home trade, as Jim said, getting a second wind as the Netflixes, the Smuckers, the PayPals, the Walmarts enjoying some green arrows today. We're back in a minute. Jim, you got an update at TikTok?
Yeah, the Chinese are going to have to accelerate the distribution of their stock now. At the time of the Oracle Walmart investment, which is something that the president really wants. The Chinese have historically have not wanted that, but it sounds like the Chinese are going to have to give in because the president wants a huge win here. And he'll get it if they do accelerate, and therefore there'll be no Chinese stake when the Walmart-Oracle deal closes by Walmart. Walmart is the winner. Great piece in Yahoo Finance today by Brian Soze explains everything. I would buy Walmart on this, and it really is incredible if the Chinese have to give it all up when they, at the time of
but
the
wait,
closing.
But wait, how are they going to do that?
Well,
Jim,
I don't
how
think they want to. I don't think they want to, but they may have to.
Okay. But are they going to do it through a public offering? In other
yes.
words, how are they? I mean, they're not.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the time of the, you know, the idea was they were going to wait a little while.
So at the
but
time
now it's
they
all
closed,
accelerated. It's accelerated,
right.
dude.
So they would close the transaction in terms of the purchase by Oracle and Walmart of the 20%.
Right.
At the same time that ByteDance would sell out in a public offering of its ownership.
That's what I understand. That's
TikTok
very accelerated. You know,
global?
That was that whole 12-month thing. It's going to be off the table if the
yeah.
president gets his way. And again, the winner to me is Walmart. The president really wants a competitor, we know, to Facebook. He'll get it. I don't know. I mean, geez, the Chinese are going to.
Somehow.
Ooh, Chinese are going to.
Somehow, Carl, I don't think we're done with this.
No, we're yeah, definitely not. Well, the Chinese agree to that. It's a huge win for the U.S. versus the Chinese.
Well, the Global Times headline now is China won't approve current TikTok agreement. So you guys are right. We're not done. No. Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
Okay, I got Eli Lilly. I want to talk about what they're doing. Obviously, as David knows, this is my focus, is therapeutic. Quincy, he's going to bring out, I think, some new drinks. And then Vivek is going to talk about Albertsons, which I think is, like, pathetically undervalued. Barron's agrees with me this weekend. What a show. Jeez, I got more work to do. No rest for the weary or the Eagles, for that matter.
Oh my gosh! At least we had a good weekend of football, Jim. There were some great games yesterday.
You have to win to make it a great
weekend. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.